मोकम करोति वाचालं पंगुम लंघयते गिरिम यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं. सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 4 एंड यस्टरडे वी कवर्ड टेक्स्ट 65. सो विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट 66 ऑनवर्ड्स. आई एम टू कंप्लीट दिस चैप्टर बाय टुडे एंड टुमारो. But I don't know if it is possible. Let's see how it goes and what Lord inspires me to speak for everyone's benefit. So till now we have seen a very nice guest has come to the house of Amrish Maharaj. And he has cursed Amrish Maharaj by creating a demon, a fiery demon. And that fiery demon, when it was moving towards Amrish Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami says, Achachala, this personality, Amrish Maharaj didn't move even a single step. Chachala. Not even a single step back. And not even one single prayer he offered to Krishna saying, please protect me. He was just standing there with folding his hands. And at that time, Sudarshan Chakra comes and it kills or devours or burns the fiery demon. And then it starts moving towards Durvasa Muni. And since Durvasa Muni was not a pure devotee, he started running away from the incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is Sudarshan. And then he started going to different places, trying to hide at different places. In one of the sessions, we very clearly said that we cannot hide from death. Come what may, we cannot hide from death. Come what may. And we gave various examples and we discussed about that. But still, maybe Durvasa Muni didn't attend such sessions. He didn't have a lockdown. He didn't knew. He went around to different places, all the three planetary systems. And then, now finally, when there was no hope, he went to Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system in this material world. But still, this personality couldn't get any hope there because Brahma said, I cannot do anything. Please, no, search for someone else. Then he goes to Lord Shiva. He felt maybe Lord Shiva will help, but Lord Shiva also said, I can also not do anything. Go to Vaikuntha. And then finally, Durvasa Muni, through his mystical power, he entered Vaikuntha. And there, he's offering prayers to Narayan, he's offering prayers, you know, to Krishna or Vishnu. And he's begging that, please help. Please help. Your Sudarshan Chakra is actually following me. But one thing, you know, we have to accept that Durvasa Muni was honest. He told the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What did he say? That I offended your devotee and so Sudarshan Chakra is falling. I was just thinking, if we would have been there, you know, in Durvasa Muni's place, we would have said, I didn't do anything. Still, Sudarshan Chakra is falling, do something. But Durvasa Muni very, very nicely, he clearly knows that Krishna as Paramatma knows everything, what is happening, what to hide from him. So he clearly accepted. He clearly put forward, you know, whatever he had done. And then he says that you can do anything, O Lord. You can do anything and everything. It means you can protect me also. And at that time, you know, Krishna starts speaking his heart to Durvasa Muni. He starts relating what he feels about his devotees to Durvasa Muni. And the first loka itself, it was clean bold. Krishna, he bold, and then Durvasa Muni was clean bold. He was out. Krishna says, Aham Bhakta Paradhino Ya Swatantra Ivadvija Sadhubir Grasta Rudayo Bhakter Bhakta Janapriyaha. I am under the control of my devotees. I am Adhina. I am below my devotees. I cannot do anything. Sorry. Because I am controlled by my sadhu, by the sadhus. Sadhubir Grasta Rudayo. My heart is controlled by these sadhus. I cannot do anything. And then the first sloka itself is very clear. Lord Narayan is very clear that I cannot help you. Then he continues speaking few more slokas to give him assurance that I cannot do anything for you. Then here in the next few slokas that we read yesterday, so he says that, O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I know I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. He says that. I don't desire to enjoy any of my opulences without my devotees. So how can I think of taking your side without and rejecting Amrish Maharaj? Not possible. And then the verse that we discussed very elaborately yesterday, Since pure devotees give up their homes, wife, children, relatives, riches, and even their life simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? And yesterday we discussed that at our level, what we can give up. In fact, I was thinking that today I will be the only person who will come for the class after hearing yesterday's class. But all of you are so sincere and you want to progress on the path of bhakti sincerely. That is the reason. Even after hearing a heavy class, now you people are here again to hear another heavy class. I'm very, very grateful to everyone here. Now in the next verse, text 66 onwards, Lord is again, he's talking about, he's opening up his heart. He's opening up his heart to Durvasa Muni, what he feels for his devotees. And you see, in every single verse, our perspective about the Lord changes. From the platform of fear that we have been brought up right from our childhood to worship the Lord, we will surely go to the platform of love to worship the Lord. That is Bhagavatam. That is Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who reads it attentively, hears it attentively, even if he's there on the platform of fear or duty or anything lower, like that, the person will surely ascend and he'll come to the platform of love. And he starts worshipping the Lord with love. And that's what is the goal of life. Attaining Krishna and worshipping with love. That is what we are supposed to do. And that's what Bhagavatam will help us to do. And these verses are explicit verses. Many, many verses are there like this in Bhagavatam. We'll surely take up these verses in our sessions at different times. But now these verses that we'll go through are really touching. Anyone who reads this, understands these verses, will surely understand how much Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, he loves all his devotees. So let's get ready for the next few verses that we're going to discuss today. Please repeat. Translation. So we are reading Canto 9, Chapter 4, Text 66. Translation. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. So secret of all the secrets is revealed here. The secrets in the in the household life. In this verse, the word samadarshanaha is significant. The pure devotee is actually equal towards everyone as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na sochati na kangshati samha sarveshu bhuteshu. Universal brotherhood is possible when one is a pure devotee, panditaha samadarshinaha. A pure devotee is actually learned because he knows his constitutional position. He knows the position of Supreme Personality of Godhead and he knows the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Thus, he has full spiritual knowledge and is automatically liberated, Brahma Bhutaha. He can therefore see everyone on the spiritual platform. He can comprehend the happiness and distress of all living entities. He understands that what is happiness to him is also happiness to others, and that what is distress to him is distressing for others. Therefore, he is sympathetic to everyone. As Prahlad Maharaj said, Sochetato vimukha chetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimodan. People suffer from material distress because they are not attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure devotee's chief concern, therefore, is to rise the ignorant mass of people to the sense of Krishna consciousness. So a lot of things are mentioned here. We'll try to discuss some of the aspects mentioned here. So one of the important thing, that this, Lord Krishna is speaking this verse. Now you can imagine, Lord Narayan, who is, he's speaking the verse. He's saying, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service. Now this is a very, very strong line. We can discuss this for hours together. So many of the Matajis, they text me saying, please speak something about females. So let's discuss this line. And then after that, we'll start with the, other aspects of this verse. Now, it is very clear very clear throughout our Shastra, and even in the day-to-day life, it is seen very clearly that maybe a male is powerful when it comes to his physical strength, but when it comes to a female, she is much, much more powerful as compared to her emotional strength. And this we see throughout the history. Alexander the Great, he controlled, he conquered so many kings and so much of territory and kingdoms, etc. But he was controlled by a female. And then there's so many other kings. Everyone, we see here in this material world, female has the power to control anyone and everyone. Yes. And especially her husband. How? It's very clear. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under their control by service. So just by service, a female can control the husband just by her service and love and affection. But now in this age of Kali, unfortunately, the situation has now really degraded. You see what has happened in the age of Kali. Kali has entered the minds of people, both male and female. And what does Kali, what is Kali doing? Kali is creating envious attitude towards these opposite genders. So male and female, instead of being together and living a life, they're competing with each other now. This is all Kali's game. And you see another aspect now that we see here is when male and female, they compete with each other. Very clearly, that is called as equal rights. You see, so many people are talking about equal rights. Now, suppose even if we sanction that equal rights, suppose Krishna comes and he sanctions equal rights. Now tell me, can a male become pregnant? Is it possible? Nowadays, some crap is happening, but naturally it is not possible. And similarly, a female cannot compete the physical strength of a male. Again, I'm talking about normal cases. So in this way, we see that what males can do, that females cannot do, and what females can do, surely males cannot do. So in this, where is the competition and where is the talk about equality, right? And unfortunately, what is happening is, now this is all Kali's game, by the way. We cannot blame anyone. We cannot blame male. We cannot blame female. It's all Kali's game, and Kali has entered the minds of everyone who is not practicing bhakti. In fact, what to talk about not practicing bhakti, even the ones who are practicing bhakti, not practicing bhakti properly. They're practicing, but not properly. Even their minds, Kali will enter. And what Kali does? Kali creates all this nonsense. Now you see, where is the competition gone to? Okay. Now if the competition equal level is proved in sports, okay. Politics, okay. There's something good that is happening. Then becoming an astronaut and going to space, okay. And then coming on the big screens, okay. But then another thing that we have to understand here very clearly is, these things are there. These are not very, very glorious, but okay. But by the influence of Kali, the competition has gone to that level. If the male is doing some, is involved in some bad activity, I'll also get involved in that. Like, let me tell you a few cases, to understand this aspect of how Kali has entered the minds and the thoughts of different personalities. You see, this is very, very normal and pains my heart whenever I see this. Since a male is smoking, a female will also be there besides him. It's so unfortunate. It's so unfortunate to see this. Both girl and a boy are sitting and they're smoking. And then the way the male is smoking and he's giving up that smoke in different shapes, female is trying to do that. Drinking alcohol. Now it has become fashion. Unfortunately, this has become fashion. And the females who are not doing this, sometimes they feel that, I'm not doing this, I'm not competing here. Let me do that. In fact, I came across one article, that was a criminal case. Now, since females are getting raped by uncontrolled males, so at that time, we see females want to take revenge. And what is this revenge? I read this criminal case long time back, not recently. So five females came together and they raped a male. Now I was just thinking, what's going on? What's going on? This is regarding females, and males have also become, they also want to compete. Now, males want to dress like females and females want to dress like males. Now, it's really difficult. You know, it's difficult to comprehend where are we heading towards. Now, since this verse exclusively talks about females, we'll talk about females more. So, another aspect that we have to understand is, and one more aspect that we'll discuss in this is, how can a female control the family? That also we'll discuss today. Please remind me if I forget. So, now a female is going to be mother for sure. Every female is supposed to get married, and she either, firstly, she is mother. As soon as she gets married, she is a mother. She is a mother of the one whom she loves so much, that is husband. So that motherly affection she gives, she acts as a friend, she acts as a lover. So at level, different levels, she associates with the husband. Now, when it comes to getting involved in these bad habits, can you imagine a female is pregnant and she's smoking cigarettes and she's drinking alcohol and she's doing all sorts of nonsense? Now tell me, how can this entire world progress on a good path if a female does this? Because see, a male, now if you properly analyze, a male does not have much responsibility when it comes to bringing the progeny very properly. Male and female, they come together. Male job is to just put the seed into the female and he's apart. Now he goes out, he earns and he gets. But the female has so much of responsibility. She shares her body. She shares her body with the child. That's a very big thing. Very, very big thing. And no one can actually say that female is lower than a male. Every male has come out from the body of a female, sharing the body. And then the next thing is, whatever she does, whatever she eats also, that affects the baby in the womb. What to talk about the smoking and drinking. Whatever she thinks, that affects the baby in the womb. Whatever she sees, that affects the baby in the womb. Whatever she hears and speaks, that affects the baby in the womb. Now just imagine, in this unfortunate situation of competition and equality, if someone goes and starts competing and doing some nonsensical activity, what will happen to the future generation? No doubt, the future generation is becoming so spoiled only and only because of this reason. Because we want to try to come to the platform for equality. Now, it's like if a male is eating stool, does that mean that female should also eat stool? In fact, the female should go and hit him nicely and give him nice food to eat. That is the power of a female. But then, Kali has entered the mind of a female also, unfortunately. And then, if the male is eating stool, she's saying, no, I'll also compete with you. I'll eat more than you. So, we have senior Matajis here. So, I sometimes hear means they come on Sundays. We talk to them. So they were asking, since I was taking sessions on teenage parenting and teenage kid sessions. So they came, so especially for boys I was taking. As a brahmachari, I cannot take for girls. So I was taking for boys only. So a few senior Matajis, they came and they were asking me, what can we do for teenage girls? So there we were discussing, and then a lot of things we discussed. And there they themselves were saying, nowadays, girls have become even more worse as compared to boys. There's a lot of control that is needed. They were saying that. And then I said how, and they narrated various aspects, this one. I was shocked to hear all that. Now here we understand very clearly that because of this unfortunate situation of competition and competing and so many other nonsensical things, now all these things are coming into picture, and no doubt Kali Yuga is going towards degradation. Kali Yuga is going towards degradation, and unfortunately the major portion now is taken, the major portion of this is owned by the mothers. And now another thing that we have to understand here is, when it comes to a female, she can conquer the entire world. What to talk about, conquering the next generation. She can actually beget progeny in such a way, she can actually call out a demigod, or call out supreme personality of Godhead in her womb. That is the power of a female. And we have seen this throughout the history, we have seen that. She has that power not to do that. So, we can discuss a lot about this, about how the degradation of Kali Yuga is going and so on and so forth. But anyways, that discussion might not help us. Anyways, all of you know very well that what is happening in this age of Kali, how both male and female are getting degraded day by day. And because of them, the next generation is getting degraded day by day. So we all of us know this. But then more productive will be to discuss about the fact that how can a female control this entire family? So, all the Matris can listen carefully. This for you. So when it comes to a female, she has the hold of the kitchen. And it is very clearly said she can control the husband by her service. And the biggest service now that is there is food. In fact, now some of the boys, when they come to the sessions and when we discuss, they are frustrated with the PG food. Then they say that, bro, I want to get married. Why you want to get married? At least my wife will cook nice foodstuffs. Now again, you know, by the Kali's influence, Kali Yuga's influence, unfortunately, many females, they think that cooking, why should I cook? No, even husband can cook. And it is a privilege. There's a privilege that a female has got to conquer the kitchen. And now just hear this very carefully. When someone cooks, what happens, you know, the consciousness of the person goes into the food. And when that food is eaten, you know, by other people, same consciousness gets replicated or reflected in other person's consciousness. Now, just imagine all the Matajis here. I'm so proud whenever I see Matajis in our center and all of y'all who come to our sessions. You people are so dedicated to your spouse and you're so dedicated to the family. In fact, I remember my mother whenever I see all of y'all. Yes. So that is a chastity. That is your service mode. You know, that's so nice. So nice of all of you. And the ones who have just started practicing bhakti, you know, so as soon as, you know, you cook, start cooking very nicely. And when the mood is, I want to cook for Krishna. And with that mood, when a female cooks in the kitchen, when a Mataji cooks in the kitchen, so that time, you know, when she cooks with that love and affection, when she offers that to Krishna, and when that prasad, when the entire family has, even without the notice of every person in the family, even without their notice, they will become devotees. And this is proved. This is proved. There's so many case studies in ISKCON. So many case studies. Just by having prasad, people have become devotees. Because maybe the Mataji who has come, she is very much qualified to do bhakti. And maybe the husband and kids are not qualified due to the past spiritual credits. But when she starts cooking with so much of love and affection, when she feeds them prasad, what happens is spiritual credits, you know, all the family members get those spiritual credits also. And then without their notice, they'll take up to bhakti. And just by the purity of the female, the purity of the Mataji who is cooking, automatically there is so much of peace and satisfaction that will pervade the entire house. And if the female doesn't do that, what will happen? There'll be so much of chaos. There'll be so much of chaos in the house. She is the one who can keep the entire house together. And for us, you know, when it comes to devotees, Matajis are the ones who can actually keep the entire house together by enabling everyone to practice bhakti by feeding them prasad. She takes the lead in the entire family, you know, to trigger that aspect of bhakti. So a female in every house, especially in the house of a devotee, the Mataji in the house of a devotee, she holds a very, very high stature. And she is the one, if she doesn't do bhakti, entire family will get ruined. If she does bhakti, entire family will flourish. Entire family will flourish. Because now when it comes to husbands, what it becomes very difficult, especially if the this is the ideal case where the husband is going to work and, you know, female Mataji is there at home. So when he's going out, he's frustrated, he comes back, and then he is not in a mood to practice bhakti. But when the Mataji, she is cooking nice prasadam, she creates that entire aura in the entire house. We see that automatically, even if the person is frustrated coming from outside, he will be very, very blissful. Very, very blissful. In fact, we can go on discussing so much on this. But then we have many other points to discuss. So the crux of the entire thing that I said, you know, for the last 20 minutes is this. That unfortunately in the age of Kali, because Kali has entered the minds of everyone, male and female, both. Now both are getting degraded and they're actually going away from their dharma. Female has a dharma and male has a dharma. There is no competition. There is no exchange of dharma here. And when it comes to Matajis, they can control the entire house by controlling the kitchen very nicely. It's a privilege to cook. It's a privilege to cook. And in fact, when a Mataji has got a daughter, it's a privilege to teach her, you know, how to control the entire house by cooking prasad, cooking bhoga for Krishna. Right? So in this way, a female can help, a Mataji can help the entire family to take up bhakti, entire family. In fact, it is seen in different case studies, a male becomes a devotee, but a long time later, a female becomes a devotee. But as soon as a female becomes a devotee, even if the husband is not a devotee, in no time, husband becomes a devotee. This theme, so many case studies are there in ISKCON. So many case studies, right? So in this way, you know, we see a chaste woman bring their husband under control by service. This is a very, very important line. And this is not a concocted line by anyone. Narayan is saying this. Maybe by his own experience he's saying. Then he says, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart, bring me under their full control. This next line is also very, very nice. A pure devotee controls the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this pure devotee, who is he? Who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart. So equal to everyone. They don't make any distinction when it comes to helping people to practice bhakti. They don't. They go to every single person. Even if they're not qualified, they beg and pray that please, please, please accept bhakti. Please start chanting. We have seen this, that so many times, you know, devotees have been slapped, you know, by people. Devotees, sometimes people have spat on the face of the devotees. Sometimes badly people have hit devotees, but still, you know, the devotees go to an extent of, you know, begging them, please, please take Bhagavad Gita, start reading. Please start reading. You are actually wasting your lifespan, entire lifetime by doing sense gratification. Please take up to bhakti. This is the mood of devotees. This is the mood of devotees. And for the surrendered souls, the devotees are very heavy. The devotees literally bring them on the right path, you know, by taming their mind very nicely. Look at this. This is the mercy of devotees. At one end, they are so very eager. You know, they get onto their knees to help people. And on the other hand, they hold a stick and train the people under them. This is the mercy of a devotee. So in this way, we see that you know, devotees don't make any distinction between whom should I give bhakti and whom should not. And then when it comes to the other one, then he says, completely attached to me in the core of the heart. That was a very important line. Completely attached to me in the core of the heart. So that devotee who is completely attached to Krishna, completely attached to Krishna, like a small kid is attached to a mother in the childhood. Like that, when we get attached to Krishna at that time, there's no option to Krishna but to always take care of the devotee, always. That attachment to the core of the heart is very, very important. And that happens only when we hear about Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Just by hearing, we'll get attached to Krishna. Just by hearing. So Shravanam is given so much of importance. So much of importance. And also we see that the distress of this world is there. This is pervading everywhere. The suffering is there everywhere. Why? Only for one reason. Because we are not attached to Krishna. Only for this one reason. And when a person gets attached to Krishna, automatically it is seen. Automatically it is seen. He is satisfied. And anyone who comes in touch with him will become satisfied, because he also gets that attachment transferred to the heart of the devotee. So the coronavirus is just a replica. Replica of bhakti in a degraded form. Just by coming in touch with a pure devotee who holds Krishna in the heart, just hearing a pure devotee who holds Krishna in the heart, automatically Krishna gets transferred to their heart also. That is a beauty. That is a beauty. Right? So in this way we see that the Lord is saying that anyone who is equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart brings me under their full control. There's so many devotees throughout, you know, in the Bhagavatam, Ramayana and Mahabharata and other places where they've controlled the Lord through their love and affection. We have discussed so much from Krishna Leela. Let's discuss something from Ramayana. So I was reading Yuddhakand. So in Yuddhakand, so Lakshman is shot an arrow, lots of arrows, and one such arrow pierced him by Indrajit, the son of Ravan. And then Lakshman is lying on the battlefield. And there, Lord Ram, he sees Lakshman and he loses entire confidence. He loses the entire confidence and he goes and embraces Lakshman and he starts crying profusely. Lakshman is unconscious and he starts crying profusely, saying that if you die, what is the use of getting Sita? Even if I get Sita, but since you are not there, oh Lakshman, I'll also die. This is what he says. Can you see how much Lakshman has conquered Lord Ram through his service? Never ever. No, in fact, there are various statements where Lord Ram has made in Yuddhakand and even in Sundarkand that even if I have to leave Sita, it's okay. But I would never leave you, O Lakshman. similar statement Lord Ram has made for Hanuman. Today is Hanuman Jayanti, the appearance of Hanuman. But Hanuman Jayanti comes multiple times in a year, so I don't know which one to celebrate. But anyways, we'll celebrate all. So what's the problem? So many times this statement has been made by Lord Ramchandra to Hanuman also, that even if I give up my concert, Sita, I will never give up your wonderful association, O Hanuman. So in this way, we see that Lord Ramchandra, how much he is attached to Lakshman, Hanuman, and even other devotees. Another example from Krishna Leela. Now, all of us know Rukmini Lota wrote the first love letter to Krishna. In the entire, see, everything comes from Supreme Personality. If currently people are writing love letters, then it comes from there. Nothing is independent. So Rukmini wrote the first love letter to Krishna. She has never seen Krishna. We were thinking if we go to Pandharpur, then we'll discuss all this in detail. But you know, looks like Lord has some other plan. So we will not be able to go to Pandharpur now. Maybe we'll see after a few months, maybe. So there Rukmini writes a letter to Krishna. She has never seen Krishna face to face. Never ever seen Krishna face to face. But she writes a letter to Krishna saying, oh Krishna, please come and kidnap me. Then Krishna comes and kidnaps Rukmini. Now when I was meditating on this pastime, I was actually confused. Who kidnapped whom? Rukmini kidnapped Krishna or Krishna kidnapped Rukmini? You properly analyze the entire pastime, you'll see Rukmini, just by her love and affection, through that love letter, she kidnapped Krishna to such an extent that Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, from his abode, he gives up everything and he comes to kidnap someone. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Lord coming to the level of kidnapping someone? So here actually Krishna didn't kidnap Rukmini first. Rukmini kidnapped Krishna first. She controlled Krishna's heart in such a way that in no time, as soon as he read the letter, immediately jumped from there, from his throne. He got on to Garuda, and some places it is described he's got onto his chariot, and then he just started there. This is called as kidnapping. This is called as conquering. In this way, devotees control the Supreme Personality. Satyabhama is like, you can actually see for other devotees, you have to analyze the pastime and try to understand, imbibe the pastime. But when it comes to the Satyabhama, explicitly she has shown that I control Krishna. So Satyabhama wanted Shyamantaka jewel, and also she wanted Parijata tree from heavenly planet. And then she's like, I want it. And you know what happened? She controlled Krishna in such a way that Krishna literally went to heavenly planet, fought with Indra. Indra worships Krishna, but Krishna fought with his own servant very badly, and he took away the tree for Satyabhama. So in this way, we see that so many pastimes throughout the various scriptures that Lord comes under the control of his devotees. In fact, we also see that when a devotee prays, like Srila Prabhupada has prayed for all of us, and also other pure devotees are praying for all of us, when they pray that please help this devotee, please take this devotee back to Godhead, he's very much qualified, etc., etc. Even when we are not qualified, when the pure devotees pray for us like this, Krishna is controlled by the desire. Only because Prabhupada has said this, and he has made this statement, anyone who chants 16 rounds, follows four related principles, practices bhakti in the association of devotees in ISKCON will surely attain Krishna this very lifetime. Prabhupada has made this statement multiple times. Now, even if the person like me who is not very much qualified, now even a person like me can start practicing bhakti. Only because Prabhupada has made this statement, even people like us can go back to Godhead. Only because Prabhupada has made such a statement. Because Prabhupada is a pure devotee who has controlled Krishna's heart. And we can see this clearly from the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, that he went to West. When he went to West, this was the prayer that he offered. Oh Krishna, please deliver all these people who are in ignorance and passion. Please deliver them only by your mercy. They'll be delivered. They're innocent. Please deliver them. And we see that all these drunkards and woman monglers and these hippies, they got converted into such amazing devotees. Such amazing devotees. This is called as the prayer of a pure devotee. A prayer of a pure devotee controls the Supreme Personality of God. It controls. As I was telling yesterday and before that also, that it's only because of the prayers of a devotee which has controlled the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we all have come into bhakti. And we are practicing bhakti. And only by the prayers of devotees who control the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we'll progress on the path of bhakti. In future, you know, when we become very nice, advanced devotees, when we look back in our life, we'll actually find so many devotees in our life who have prayed for us. So many devotees. And only because of them who have controlled Krishna, only because of them we will become devotees. Or we have become devotees, you know, I would say. And we'll advance in bhakti. And finally we'll attain Krishna. It is very clearly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that a person can attain Krishna only when a pure devotee recommends his name to Krishna. Or else it's not possible. By our own endeavor, it is not possible. So all the sadhana that we are doing is to get the mercy of Krishna, saying, "No, I'm doing for you," and to get the mercy of a pure devotee. Right? So when Prabhupada sees, "No, even when it is so difficult, still a devotee is practicing, chanting 16 rounds, even when the person is not well, even when situation in the home is not proper, still the person is chanting 16 rounds, following four regulative principles, even when people are not supporting in the house and outside, even when people are making jokes and fun about the person, still when the person does. Even when, you know, the person is not very comfortable in the association of devotees due to some misunderstanding, still he's there in the association of devotees because Prabhupada has said. And when all these things are done, Prabhupada's mercy will surely flow, no doubt about it, no doubt. And when Prabhupada's mercy flows, since the pure devotee is pleased, he'll recommend our name to Krishna. Please take him, good person he is. Right. This is what we all are doing. Trying to serve a pure devotee, trying to impress a pure devotee, by which we'll get the ticket to back home, back to Godhead. In this way, Bhagavatam very clearly mentions, to become a pure devotee, we need the blessings and prayers of a pure devotee. Very clear. Why? Because a pure devotee, very clearly, you know, Krishna is saying, the pure devotees bring me under their full control. Very clear. There is no question of any doubt here. Pure devotees bring me under their control. Right? So in this way, we see that like, the analogy is very nice, I repeat the analogy, like the chaste wives control the husband through their service, similarly the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and who hold me in their heart or who are attached to me in the core of their heart, such people bring me under their control. What a nice verse, you know, to meditate on. And then when you meditate on this verse, you will see the mercy of Krishna. You will see how loving Krishna is. And automatically, now our platform of devotional service will rise from fear, you know, to love. So this way, this is what this verse talks about. And you look at Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj makes it very clear. People suffer from material distress because they are not attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only because of that. Only because of that. So our entire endeavor of practicing bhakti, whatever we are doing, completely different than what the entire world is doing. So if the entire world is like a river flowing in one direction, we devotees are taking another direction altogether. And for sure, since the river is flowing in one direction, we are flowing in another direction, we'll face a lot of obstacles. But still, when we are doing that, what is the goal? To attain Krishna. And how is it possible? By getting attached to him in the core of our hearts. And that's what, you know, next thing that he says, these devotees are very, very special. How are these devotees very, very special? He's telling Durvasa Muni. Text 67. Please repeat the shloka. Matsevaya pratitam te.
Matsevaya pratitam te.
Salokya di chatushtayam.
Salokya di
chatushtayam. Nechanti sevaya purnaha.
Nechanti sevaya purnaha.
Kuto nyat kala viplutam. Here the translation says, my devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation. Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya and Sarshti. Although these are automatically achieved by their service, what then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur. You remember Bilwa Mangal Thakur? We discussed yesterday. Has estimated the value of liberation as follows. Mukti swayam mukulitanjali sevate asman dharmartha kamagataya samaya pratikshaha. Bilwa Mangal Thakur realized that if one develops his natural devotional service to Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhakti stands before him with folded hands to offer all kinds of service. In other words, the devotee is already liberated. There is no need for him to aspire for different types of liberation. The pure devotee automatically achieves liberation even without desiring it. So one day I think some devotee asked me a question, that is the goal of life, moksha? No. Moksha is just a mere byproduct of devotional service. Anyone who attains Krishna, love of Godhead, for them all these things are very, 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 very normal. Bilwamangal Thakur is saying that a person who practices devotional service, for him, Mukti Devi stands at the door, folding the hands, saying, please accept me, oh dear devotee, please accept me. Just imagine. So be aware, whenever you're chanting, you can look at the door, Mukti Devi will be there standing with the folded hands. Oh dear devotee, please accept me. I want to give you Mukti. It is very, 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 very normal for a devotee. And there are different types of liberation. Moksha, there are different types, the five types basically. So here there are four of them given. So the first one is Salokya. Salokya Mukti basically means a person goes to the same abode where the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna stays. That is Salokya, same loka. He goes to the same loka. The next Mukti is called a Sarupya. He gets the same form as that of the Supreme Personality. It is said as soon as we go to Vaikuntha, we also get the same form as Vishnu, having four hands and a beautiful form, beautiful complexion like that of Vishnu. That is Sarupya. Samipya, the person stays very, very close to the Supreme Personality. That is Samupya Mukti. And Sarshti. Sarshti means getting the same opulence that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the four bona fide and very, very important Mukti which devotees get, even when they don't aspire for. And devotees don't like the fifth one. That is called as Salokya, Samipya, Sashti, Ekatvam. Ekatvam is one and there's another name also. Sayujya Mukti. So in Sayujya Mukti, the many yogis desire for Sayujya Mukti. Even Mayavadis, they desire for Sayujya Mukti. What is Sayujya Mukti? Sayujya Mukti is, I want to merge in the Lord. That is Sayujya Mukti. I want to become one with the Lord. That is Sayujya Mukti. And devotees don't like that. Because Sayujya Mukti, because of that, the person loses identity. Then how will he serve Supreme Personality? Finally, he wants to serve the Lord. How will he serve the Supreme Personality? Right? So in this way, the devotees, in fact, there's another shloka where it says that I don't want Salokya, Samipya, Sashti and Sarupya. Another Mukti, that is Ekatvam. If there is no service, O Lord, in your spiritual world. And then the devotee, the talk between the Lord and devotee is this. The devotee is asking the Lord, is there any service there? And the Lord says, Naini, you have done so much here in the material world. Now you come and just stay with me and just enjoy. Devotee says, no. Then I will not come if there is no service. If there is any service, then tell me, I will come. That is the mode of a devotee. So a devotee is ready to go even to Vaikuntha, to heaven, be here or go to hell also if there is any service. Sometimes, just for fun, we devotees, sometimes in the ashram we discuss. Anyways, it might be difficult to attain Vaikuntha because of our misfortune. Let's go to hell and open an ISKCON center there. Some service, we'll go and preach in the hell. Anyways, we're qualified to go to hell. Right? So devotees just want service. So in this way, we see that devotees don't aspire for mukti. No. They aspire for Krishna. And anyone who aspires for Krishna and attains Krishna, mukti is just there. Just there. It's like saying, one-to-one free. This you take and other comes for free. So you just get Krishna and all these things will come in for free. So this is the verse, which speaks about this, where Lord very clearly says that devotees are very satisfied by engaging in my loving service. They're so much satisfied that they don't desire even liberation. They just want to serve me. And that is the truth, The service that we are getting in this material world, that is not even available in spiritual world, to be very frank. Here in this material world, we can go out and preach. And we can go and give the message to Bhagavad Gita. In spiritual world, whom will preach? Everyone is a devotee there. In fact, in spiritual world, it is described, you start speaking about Krishna, everyone will faint out of love and ecstasy. Right? Only in the material world, here we have the opportunity to go around and preach the message of Bhagavad Gita. And this service is exclusive only for devotees of this world. And it's very, very nice, you know, to understand that Lord personally, you know, takes care of those devotees who preach the message of Bhagavad Gita. And in last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, 67th and 68th or 69th verse talks about this, where Lord is saying, no person is as dear as that devotee who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to others. Now, you can just imagine, you know, what a level that, you know, Krishna is giving the devotees. So it's a wild card entry that all of us can get, you know, closer to Krishna just by preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita or assisting in this preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna. We can actually get closer to Krishna, and devotees want to give this message to everyone. Everyone. In fact, this question was asked to Srila Prabhupada. Where did your spiritual master go? So Prabhupada said, my spiritual master Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has gone to another planet to preach. This is how crazy the devotees are. They don't want to go to Vaikuntha. They want to go around and preach the message of Bhagavad Gita, because when they preach the message of Bhagavad Gita and when people become devotees, Krishna is happy. Krishna feels very happy. That is the reason. Only to give pleasure to Krishna, they want to be here. But for all of us, let's go to spiritual world and then, you know, take darshan of the Lord, enjoy there nicely, and then let's come back to preach here. So in this way, you know, Lord is saying that my devotees are very, very happy with him. Very, very happy with him. Right? Let's take the next verse also. This verse is also very, very important. Please repeat. Sadhavo hridayam mahyam.
Sadhavo hridayam mahyam.
Sadhu naam hridayam tvaham.
Sadhu naam hridayam tvaham.
Mad anyatte na jananti.
Mad anyate na jananti.
Naham tebhyo managapi.
Naham tebhyo managapi.
Translation. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Since Durvasa Muni wanted to chastise Ambarish Maharaj, it is to be understood that he wanted to give pain to the heart of Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the Lord says, Sadhavo Rudayam Mayam. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. The Lord's feelings are like those of a father who feels pain when his child is in pain. Therefore, offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee are serious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very strongly recommended that one not commit any offense at the lotus feet of a devotee. Such offenses are compared to a mad elephant, because when a mad elephant enters a garden, it causes devastation. Therefore, one should be extremely careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Actually, Maharaj Ambarish was not at all at fault. Durvasa Muni unnecessarily wanted to chastise him on flimsy grounds. Maharaj Ambarish wanted to complete the Ekadashi Paran as part of devotional service to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore he drank a little water. But although Durvasa Muni was a great mystic Brahmana, he did not know what is what. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a so-called learned scholar of Vedic knowledge. The devotees, being always situated in the core of the Lord's heart, surely get all instructions directly from the Lord, as confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 10:11. Tesham evanu kampartham aham agyana jamtamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with a shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. The devotee does not do anything not sanctioned by Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigyana bhujaye. Even the most learned or experienced person cannot understand the movements of a Vaishnav, a pure devotee. No one therefore should criticize a pure Vaishnav. A Vaishnav knows his own business. Whatever he does is precisely right, because he is always guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, lot of things to discuss. Again, we'll discuss about the mind and intelligence here. Listen very carefully. So now, when it comes to this line that my pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am there in the core of the pure devotee. So here, basically, Lord is telling Durvasa that now, when you have cursed Ambarish Maharaj, when you have made feel pain to him, now since I am there in his heart, I am feeling the pain. You have actually hurt me. You actually hurt me, O Durvasa. And the other aspect, what this verse talks about is that I am there in the heart of Ambarish Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj drank water. because I directed him. Why? Who are you to feel offended in between? This is what is the question that Lord is asking Durvasamani. And when it comes to, you know, since Amrish Maharaj was offended and he's there in the heart of the Lord, Lord gets hurt. Lord gets offended. So in this way, we see that there is a very, very intimate connection between a devotee and the Lord. So a Kanishtha Adhikari, there are three levels. Maybe sometime later we can discuss Kanishtha, Madhyam and Uttam. So a devotee on the lowest platform, his mood is me and my Lord. So you know, no one in between. So he is very, very respectful towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, but he is not respectful towards the devotees. Many people we find like that in India. You know, many people we have heard personally saying that me and my Krishna, I don't want anyone in between. I don't want any Godman in between. Right? But then one thing we have to understand is Lord is very pleased when we respect the devotees, when we serve the devotees. He makes it very clear to Parvati, like Shiva is telling Parvati in this very nice shloka. I forgot the translation of Sanskrit. The Sanskrit. But the translation says that, O Devi, the topmost worship is actually worshipping Vishnu. Param Aradhanam Vishnu. Some lines are coming, but I'm not able to put those lines properly in place. Vishnu Aradhanam Param. This is one of the line there. So he's saying Vishnu Aradhanam Param. So worshipping Vishnu is the topmost worship. Then Lord Shiva is telling Parvati that even much better than that, you know what it is? Worshipping his devotees or serving his devotees. This is what is a secret that Shiva is revealing to Parvati. So in this way we see that how closely the devotee and the Lord are bonded to each other. Now you just imagine if you offend a devotee, we speak back to devotees, we offend a devotee, what pain the Lord goes through. It's equivalent to hurting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So never ever, never ever we should take that position of hurting a devotee. Never ever. We should be the first person to ask forgiveness if we feel that the devotee is hurt because of me. We should go and fall at the feet of the devotee. First person we should be to go and ask forgiveness. Why? Because when a devotee is hurt, Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is hurt. And if Krishna is hurt, you know, what is the use of all the devotional service that we're doing? So we have to be very, very careful. When we come in devotee association, we should be careful not to offend a devotee. And here it's very clear. Durvasa, he was a great mystic, very qualified person, but he offended a devotee and Lord is not accepting him. He's saying, no, I cannot do anything for you. Now, another aspect that is mentioned here is the devotees does not do anything which is not sanctioned by Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this is technical. Let's try to understand this nicely. So now all of us have faced this ambiguity that when it comes to different voices within, we want to make some decision and a various voice from within. Some voice says, no, you should go ahead, do it. Some voice says, no, you shouldn't do it. Another voice says, these are the benefits of it. Another voice says something else. What are these different voices within? One of the prominent voices is mind. Mind says, don't do this, do that. There's another voice of intelligence. Don't go for this. This is very bad. And then there is another voice of Paramatma. And the voice of Paramatma actually is the right plan that Paramatma is telling us. And is directing us to do the right thing. But in this entire chaos, you know what happens? Especially now in this neophyte stage where we all are stuck in, when the mind is not under control, mind is shouting to the pitch of the voice. And the intelligence is trying to shout equally and trying to control the mind. Especially when we attend Gita courses, intelligence also starts becoming really strong and they start competing. But still the mind is not under control. Why? Because the mind is not engaged in the service of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mind is just there in our sense gratification. Various plans are there in sense gratification. And through the scriptures, now the person understands how to do sense gratification according to scriptures. Not committing sins and how to do sense gratification. Now this entire talk that is happening between mind and intelligence, you know what is happening? Just a discussion on how to do better sense gratification. Mind is telling about sinful ways to do it. And intelligence is saying, no, you shouldn't do it. It's like a diabetic patient. So mind is saying, because mind works on likes and dislikes. We have discussed this in our Gita course. So the diabetic patient is looking at the rasgulla lying in front. And then the mind is looking, the person is looking at the rasgulla and the mind is saying, "Are, go for it, you like it." By the way, I like rasgulla, so I speak about rasgulla. And then the intelligence is saying, "Are, nahi, doctor ne bola hai nahi khane ko, don't eat." The mind is saying, "Are, don't listen to this person, go and eat it." What will happen max to max? Your sugar level will increase a bit, you put insulin. This doctor has given you, syringes. Use one. And the intelligence saying, "Don't do this. What if it increases beyond the certain level? You will die." And the mind is saying, no. "So many people are there. All are living. How you will die? Eat. And now it all depends who is strong, mind or intelligence. And there's a war that is happening between the two. And now, most of the time, for the conditioned beings like us, mind takes over intelligence. And then intelligence becomes very, very low. And then when something wrong happens, the mind goes very low and intelligence, boosts up saying, "I told you, don't do, I told you. And that is the time when the guilt feeling comes. Now, but the problem, in all these things, since we are not completely surrendered to Krishna, since the mind is not completely engaged in service of Krishna, our intelligence is not completely engaged in service of Krishna. So the fight between mind and intelligence is so loud. That's what we are able to hear and that's what we do. But the Paramatma's voice becomes very, very feeble. It's very, very feeble. We are not able to hear what Paramatma is saying. But as and when we purify our consciousness and we advance in the path of bhakti, you know what happens? Mind and intelligence voice goes low and Paramatma's voice goes high. He is very strong and he starts speaking very strongly. And the pure devotee hears what Paramatma is speaking and he does what Paramatma is saying as it is. As it is. And that's how we see that pure devotees, surrendered souls, surrendered devotees, they are just acting according to the plans of Krishna because they are able to hear what Paramatma is speaking. But unfortunately, when it comes to us, in this case, currently, suppose, we're making a decision and there are three voices within, or four voices, or number of voices within, will not be able to make out, what is Paramatma saying. But with time, when we advance on the path of bhakti, we will see and we'll be able to hear Paramatma speaking. And when we hear Paramatma speaking, that is the best plan to execute. And that's what we see throughout. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says, these purports which are there. Now, what used to happen is, Prabhupada would ask his disciples, "Read my books." And disciples would start reading his purports and other, and Prabhupada would enjoy. He said, "Arre, such a nice point. This is such a nice point. And the disciples would be, "Arre, you only have written all this." And Prabhupada would say, "No, I have not written. Krishna dictated, I just wrote it." That is the level where pure devotees, they can directly hear what Krishna is saying and they can actually pen it down or they can speak. See, we might speak some philosophy, same philosophy what Prabhupada has spoken or any pure devotee has spoken. That might not touch the hearts of people directly. But when a pure devotee speaks, same thing, directly it goes and sits in the heart of the person. And then he says, "Very nice point." And then we might be wondering, "I'm telling this from so long and not understanding. Today you understood." Why? Because the pure devotee speaks what the Lord speaks within. So in this way, all of us should aim to come to that platform where we hear Paramatma within. And when that day comes, that is the ultimate time, when you're just hearing Paramatma, you're having a conversation with Krishna. You are asking question, Krishna is answering. Just imagine you are stuck in a situation and then you just close your eyes and you ask Krishna, "Krishna, bolo, kya karna hai? Jaldi bolo, jaldi. And Krishna speaks, take right, take left. That is the platform. And anyone who comes to that platform, who is in touch with Krishna directly, who cares about this world at that time? He is in bliss in his own world, talking to Krishna. But then, people on this platform, they might do some activities which might not be normal for this age, for people in general. There is one personality called Vamshiri Das Babaji Maharaj. What he did was, long story cut short, he took his Gaurnitha deities and he threw in the river. Now all the devotees are wondering, what happened? Why did he do this? But then there was a competition that was there between Gaurnitha and him. Competition of swimming. Who will go and swim there and reach the other place first? They were in Sakya Bhav, mood of friendship. So he threw the deities in the river and he also jumped and he started swimming and from other side he comes out with the deities. Now if someone just sees on this side of the river, he'll say, "Arey, this person is mad. He's throwing the Lord in the river." So in this is the platform. Now we might not understand what is happening. Even there are various acts which Prabhupada did. Very difficult to understand what Prabhupada is doing. In one of the places in Prabhupada's pastimes, Prabhupada tells all his disciples, when it comes to printing of Krishna book, I hope everyone has Krishna book and you have started reading it, the entire pastimes of Krishna from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, summarized. Very amazing book to read. Especially, you know, before sleeping, we should read some pages of Krishna book and take rest. So, and Prabhupada says, anyone who reads Krishna book every single day before sleeping, Krishna will surely come in dream one day. He says that. So, be ready. So, what happened is, first time Prabhupada, he has dictated Krishna book and the book is printed. And the disciples come and ask Prabhupada that how many copies should we print? And then Prabhupada said, print a huge number, he said, some 10,000, 20,000, some number like that. And the disciples said, "Arey, it's a new book. Who will take this new book?" Prabhupada said, "Just print." And then devotees are not able to comprehend. There is no money also to print. And then Prabhupada says, the disciples are saying, "Prabhupada, there is no money to print the books." Prabhupada says, "Go to George Harrison. He'll give you." Now all of these, they're thinking. Now Harrison is in the Beatles. I mean, there was a band, very nice band. And he was the lead singer there. One of the disciples was sent to talk to Harrison. And then when they went there, George Harrison, he asked, "How can I serve you?" And they said that, "Can you please sponsor, this Krishna book, which is there." And that huge amount it was. You can imagine some 20,000 copies. How much of Lakshmi is needed there? Then George Harrison, he made a very, morose face. And there, when he made the morose face, suddenly what happened is all the lights got switched off. There was a storm outside, and something happened. No one knows what happened. And then after few seconds only, this thing lasted. And the lights came back. And George Harrison, with a smile on the face, he asked, "How much money should I give you?" Now all the devotees were amazed. "Arey baapre, kya ho gaya?" And then all the devotees remembered. No, Prabhupada's line, "Go to George Harrison, he'll give you money." And Prabhupada was so strong, he said, "Go, he'll give you." And in another place, what happened is, they got the money and they printed the books. And this Krishna book sold like hotcakes. And the devotees then again remembered, 20,000 copies. Correct, Prabhupada said, that's very, very nice. Now, these are all direct conversations what Prabhupada would have with Krishna, and he would take this decision directly like this. There's another pastime where Prabhupada was invited to one Marwadi's house, and there was Radha Krishna deities. And then Prabhupada went and then he took darshan of the deities, and those deities, if I'm not wrong, they were in the box. And that Marwadi devotee, that Marwadi person, not a devotee, he invited for something. And then when Prabhupada saw the deities, so at that time, he told his disciples that just pick up the boxes and put it in the car. Now, you can imagine that person, that Marwadi, is looking at the deities being taken away and put in the car. And Prabhupada is just saying, just take him. Take the deities. And everything is happening in front of him. And then after that, Prabhupada tells him Hare Krishna, and he also gets into the car. And he tells his disciple who was driving, "Drive fast." And then after going to certain distance, then he tells the disciple, "Wait, stop." And then he comes down from the car. He opens the box, and then he pays obeisance to Radha Krishna at that time. Now you can imagine, why did Prabhupada do this? No one can understand all this. No one can understand why this person did this particular thing. In this way, we see that so many incidents in Prabhupada's life, or even in other acharyas' life, we see directly Krishna speaks to them and they execute it as it is. In one of the pastimes of Jagannath Puri, so Jagannath, he personally spoke to his devotee and he said, I want this jackfruit stolen from this garden. Now this devotee, Bichara, he went there. Devotees are very normal, very nice. But now Lord has said, so he went there and then he stole the jackfruit and he was caught red-handed. And then he had no answer. What will he tell? People are asking, why did you steal Jagannath? Sorry, why did you steal jackfruit? And the person is quiet. He said, just a minute, let me offer this jackfruit to Jagannath. I'll come back to you and tell you later. You know, why did I do that? And then king was also there. And I think a lot of people were there. And then when this person went back, and then he told Jagannath wanted. Now he said, if you would have asked us, we would have given you, no? Then he said, Jagannath wanted a stolen jackfruit. He wanted a stolen jackfruit, so I stole. So in this way, when it comes to pure devotees, Lord directly speaks. And this is the opulence of a devotee. We should come to that platform as soon as possible. And this is possible by practicing bhakti. Right? This is what Lord is saying. That pure devotees always within the core of my heart. And I am always in the heart of a pure devotee. So when Krishna is saying, I am there in the heart of pure devotee, it means exclusively speaks to the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. And it is seen in the life of pure devotees. Any decision they want to make, they'll ask this first question to the Lord in the heart. Should I do this or not? And Lord will say, yes, go ahead. They'll go ahead. And if the Lord says, no, don't do this, they'll not do. Simple. Even if it is the biggest of the biggest task, which is very important, and if Krishna says don't do, they'll not do. They'll not bother about the entire world. That is the relation between the Lord and the devotee. So with this, I would like to stop here. And three more verses, and we'll be completing this. I think tomorrow we should be able to complete. Let's take questions now. Please speak some small pastime of Lord Hanuman as it is Hanuman Jayanti. Oh, okay. The famous pastime of Sindhur. Well, let's discuss that. This pastime is very nice. So for glorifying Hanuman and for purification of myself, I would like to speak this pastime. Paying obeisance to Sri Guru. So Hanuman would personally dress Lord Ramchandra. Now you can imagine we getting the chance to personally dress Lord Ramchandra. He was doing that. He would put all the ornaments, he would put the bracelets and armlets and everything. And then he would give Lord Ramchandra to wear the crown, etc., etc. So Sita Devi would be dressing in one corner and Lord Ramchandra would be dressing in another corner. Sita Devi was ready almost and Lord Ramchandra was almost ready. So Lord Ramchandra took his crown and he started out. And he also, Hanuman gave the garland to him and he started going out. Sita Devi was still sitting in front of the mirror. She was holding a box of sindoor, the red color powder in her hand. And she took and she applied on her forehead. Yes. So now when it comes to Hanuman, he was looking. What is Sita doing? She's dressed completely. What is this red powder that she's putting? So, like a monkey, he was started jumping around. He came to Sita and he started asking. And now this only a pure devotee gets a chance to enter the personal quarters, private quarters of the Supreme Lord. And just imagine a monkey. Hanuman is entering the private quarters of Sita Devi when she's dressing. It's a very big thing. Very big thing. So then Hanuman goes there and he looks in the mirror and he says, Maya, what is this that you're applying on the forehead? And then Sita Devi says that this is a very, very important thing that I'm applying on my forehead. By applying this, firstly she says, when I apply this and when my Lord sees me, he feels very, very happy. And then Hanuman said, please tell me more about this powder. And then Sita Devi, she says that when I apply this, the ayu, the lifetime or the lifespan of my Lord increases. And he'll be very satisfied and happy in his life. And then Hanuman is thinking in the mind, just by putting little on the forehead, this happens. And then he waits for Sita Devi to go out. And then after that, what Hanuman does is, when Sita Devi goes out, he takes that dabba in which Sindhur was there. And then he goes to the kitchen, hiding where no one is seeing. Then he looks at the powder and he says, if little powder put here, Ramchandra feels happy. If I put this powder over my entire body, how much happy he will be? And just by putting little powder, if his lifespan increases and he becomes happy and he becomes satisfied, if I apply in my entire body, that my Lord will become immortal. This is the love of a devotee, you know. The devotee always feels that something will happen to my Lord. And the Lord always feels something will happen to my devotee. And both of them, they serve each other with that intimacy. And here Hanuman is saying, this will increase the lifespan of my Lord. Hanuman knew very well, my Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing will happen to him. But still with so much of love and affection, he was thinking like this. Then he took some powder in the hand. He didn't take it like this. He took it full like this. And he started applying. Now he saw it is falling down. Then he started thinking, when Maya Sita, she took little and she applied, stayed there on the forehead, didn't fall down. For me, why it is falling down? Then what happened is, now he is very intelligent. So he took some ghee. He mixed that sindoor in the ghee and very nicely applied in all the parts of the body, from top to bottom. And he became completely red. Now all this took some time to do. And then already Sita and Ram are sitting in the darbar and all the ministers are sitting and the other brothers of Lord Ramchandra are there on the dais with Lord Ram. And like this, the entire sabha is filled with people. And Lord Ram is asking Sita, hey Sita, where is Hanuman? At that time, Sita Devi, she says that actually he came to my quarters where I was dressing. Maybe he's there, he's doing some work there, he's doing some seva. And then both of them are discussing. And in between the entire sabha, in the midst of the entire sabha, Hanuman enters with his gada on his shoulders. And he starts walking in the entire sabha. And his entire body is red. Everyone is looking at Hanuman. And everyone is laughing at Hanuman. And Hanuman is not feeling anything. Hanuman's only goal was, I have to give pleasure to my Lord. That was the only thing that was there in his heart. With that mood, he's entering the entire sabha. Everyone is laughing. And Hanuman is also smiling. Hanuman is holding gada. He's only looking at Lord Ramchandra. He's walking. Everyone is laughing at Hanuman. And Hanuman is looking at Lord Ramchandra. He's smiling. And in the mind, he's thinking, today my Lord will be very happy looking at me. And today, my Lord's lifespan will increase to a very, very great extent. And then, Lord Ramchandra was puzzled. What's happening? Why would dress like this? Completely in red. So at that time, Hanuman says, because Maya Yashoda told me that this sindoor, this red powder has got so much of glory. So at that time, Lord Ramchandra asks Hanuman, what did your Maya tell you? And then he says that she told me that just by applying little, you become happy. Then I thought, if I apply my entire body, how much happy you will be? And then, Ramchandra, he started laughing. Then Lord Ramchandra said, what else did Sita tell you? Yeah, Maya told me another thing. If I apply a little on my forehead, the lifespan of my husband increases. My Lord increases. Then I started thinking, if I apply on my entire body, you will become immortal, O Lord. And Lord started laughing so profusely. He was so happy. He was so happy to hear this. And in the entire sabha, he declared that there's no devotee like Hanuman. There's no devotee like Hanuman. And Hanuman will be always there in the mood of service, always. I'll tell another pastime which is coming to my mind. So what would happen is, Hanuman would always be there at the feet of Lord Ramchandra, always massaging his feet, always. Now Lakshman and Sita, they were thinking, "Arey, if you want to speak something personal, this person is not going away. He's always there massaging the feet." And Sita started thinking, "I want to spend some personal time with Lord Ramchandra. He's my husband." And then both of them made a plan. They made a service chart. Okay. Now they made a book. Not service chart is one page, but they made a book of service in which service was mentioned, what service has to be done for Lord Ramchandra, and the name of the person was mentioned in front of it. So this book was ready and all the services were there, and in front the names of the people who will do that service was there. So that particular day, Hanuman, he came to take darshan of his Lord. So he came to the door. And Sita and Lakshman are standing outside the door. And then what happened is, Hanuman was stopped. And then Hanuman said, what happened? So there, both of them, they said that only people whose names are mentioned here in this book, they can enter according to the time of their service. Now Hanuman was eager to see what is my service. And then, he started going through. Page by page, he's searching the name. Next. He's searching the name and he couldn't find his name. Very, very intelligently, Lakshman and Sita Devi, they were also, you know, playing prank with Hanuman. They didn't mention his name. And then, Hanuman, he looked at that and he said, okay, theek hai, no problem. So he told them and he went to terrace. Hanuman went to terrace. And then Lord Ramchandra is sitting inside. He doesn't know what has happened outside. And he's waiting. Hanuman has not come. And then Sita and Lakshman, they went there inside. They were very happy. Chalo, we get personal time with the Lord. And then they started speaking to the Lord. So that time in between, Lord Ramchandra was opening his mouth like this. And again he comes back. Every 5 minutes he's opening his mouth like this. And again he comes back. Now, Sita Devi was thinking, Hari, I'm speaking to you something. What are you doing opening your mouth up like this? Actually, Hanuman looked in the service chart and one service was not there mentioned in that. You know what that service was? When someone yawns, no. Automatically the finger goes like this, right? So Hanuman took that service. Whenever the Lord will yawn, I will do this for the Lord. So Hanuman went on the terrace. Now he doesn't know when is the Lord yawning. So to and fro, he was just doing like this and going around. And just to reciprocate with the service that Hanuman was doing, Lord Ram was opening his mouth again and again. When Sita asked the question to Lord Ram, what are you doing like this? So at that time, Lord Ramchandra said, the name which was not mentioned, a service which was not mentioned in the book, that service has been offered and that person whose name is not mentioned in the book, that person is offering me that service. And they went upstairs and they saw Hanuman doing this service. And then they understood, come what may, we cannot separate Hanuman from Lord Ramchandra. And then he comes there inside and then he sits there again to play prank with Hanuman. Sita and Lakshman, they say that, Chike, you have taken up service by your own self, which is not mentioned in the book. Now you go. Whenever the service happens, you come here. Now Hanuman makes a very intelligent statement. He says, when will Lord yawn? I don't know. So I have to sit here and just keep looking at his face. Whenever he yawns, I'll do this. Hanuman and Lakshman, Sita, they bang their head and they're saying, oh, we cannot do anything with this kapi, with this monkey. So in this way, Hanuman performed various pastimes. So many more pastimes are there. I'm not able to remember. So let me go for some questions now. Cook for Krishna, that is true, Prabhu. It's proved in my own home, Prabhu. Oh, okay. Very nice. So Praveen Prasad Prabhu, so you are not a devotee and your wife cooked for you and you become a devotee. That's what you're saying. Please write something if you would like to hear. My query may be silly. Shall we avoid keeping cook as consciousness may get transferred to food? And if we use onion garlic, can we still offer it to Krishna? Bingo! You got the essence of my class. Aray, we don't know who the cook is. We don't know his kula, gotra, nothing. We keep him and he's cooking. Aray. And if his consciousness is dirty, even if we don't want to do dirty things, we will do dirty things. So very bad to have a cook in the house. And onion garlic, if we use onion garlic, it is recommended not to offer to Krishna. Because the onion and garlic, they come in the mode of ignorance. So we shouldn't offer that to Krishna. Whatever you prepare without onion and garlic, like rice and ghee can be offered. Rice, ghee and milk can be offered or some sweet can be offered whenever you prepare. So that's good. Are you recommending that Matajis quit their jobs? If a Mataji cannot cook due to some reasons, are there guidelines for keeping a cook? Now you're putting me in Dharma Sankat. What should I tell you? Are you recommending that Matajis quit their jobs? Ideally, yes. Ideally, yes. Especially when the kids are small, Mataji should take care of the kids. That's very, very important. But then, when it comes to really the financial requirement is there at home, then it's required. Then both husband and wife can work. But when it comes to taking care of kids, exclusive, because mother has a responsibility to take care of kids. So she should do that. Yes. But then we have to see time, place, circumstance, and accordingly we have to decide, should we work or not. So it's up to the person and situation in the house. So it has to be done accordingly. There's no black and white answer to this. So I might say yes, I might say no. How does it really matter? So black and white answer will not matter here. What matters is situation in the house. especially financial situation. Depending on that, a female can become a Kshatriya and she goes out as Jhansi Ki Rani, you know, to fight with the outside world. If a Mataji cannot cook due to some reasons, are there guidelines for keeping a cook? Now, as such, to be very frank, you know, there are not any guidelines as such. Yes, if the cook is also a devotee, then it's done. Cook should be a devotee then. He should be chanting 16 rounds, or at least few rounds, and should be following four related principles. And the cook is nicely practicing bhakti and then he's cooking, then there's no problem. So like in our center, we have two cooks, you know, who cook for the brahmacharis here. So they both chant 16 rounds and they are married, they have a family. But they come here, they cook. So they chant 16 rounds, they're following four related principles. So it's much valid. So no problem to have such cooks. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands, what is meant by gentle husbands? Are you for a brahmachari you are asking all these questions? You should know better. What do you mean a gentle husband? You do the research and let me know who is a gentle husband. Maybe I'll be able to answer this question next time. In Sayujya Moksha, possible as per Dvaitavad or Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, is there a hierarchy of the types of moksha? See, the Sayujya Mukti is when a person desires that I want to merge in the Supreme Personality. And then accordingly, when the person does some activities like the yogic practices, which these people do, or reading Vedanta, which Mayavadis do. So all these actually constitute, you know, to that desire to merge in the Lord. So then another person will get merged. You know, I will get that moksha, provided he attains that perfection by doing that process, which is very, very difficult. Very difficult. And when it comes to Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, it means a devotee. A devotee follows Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, anyone who follows will not ever desire for Sayujya Mukti, to merge in the Lord. Never. Never they will desire. Is there any hierarchy of types of moksha? It depends on the desire of the devotee. Now, what is the desire of the devotee? So whatever he desires accordingly, that moksha is given. But for a pure devotee, the devotee will not desire anything. Hope this answers your question.